Mark, it's your turn for post pick.
What? I'm not a regular.
Everybody probably expects we're going to talk about the new phones on this show, but boy, are they in for a surprise.
This is episode 134 on October 8th, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Mark Sadowski, and I'm mad as anything right now.
Why?
Dude, I've been looking so forward to this, and I finally saw it on the shelf, and I was so excited to see it. I grabbed it, bought it, took it gingerly out of its package. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's finally here. And you know, and it looked just like the old version. And then it's like, then I looked, I took it out of the package, and oh, just utter disappointment. I wish I had a soundbite to share how crap this thing is. It's a slap in the face to the previous generation. And it's like, damn it.
Was it a book? I know we're supposed to ask, what is it? But I really don't care.
Wow. You really killed that.
What is it?
It's the Suzy Q. They finally brought the Suzy Q back.
And is it that twirly thing?
No, it's the Hostess thing. And I saw it in the shelf in CVS. I'm like, oh my God, they finally brought this back. I've been waiting for this thing to come back. And
oh, that's right.
And I ate it, and it tasted like a piece of shit. It was two pieces of cardboard mixed with fake cream. It was... oh my God.
Well, that teaches you.
My God, there is no God.
Oh, how are you guys doing? Let's start with you, Matt.
I'm doing great. I finally got my new phone.
Woohoo!
And I couldn't be happier.
Good. Yeah, I saw a couple of your posts and thought, yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Mark?
Well, apart from the disappointing moment of my childhood.
Wait, which part?
The Suzy Q's. I don't think you guys are appreciating the severity of this thing. I remember back in college, I'd chow down the Suzy Q's and suck down some Mountain Dew, and I could literally feel the sugar rush going through my arms in a tingling manner that almost mimics the onset of a heart attack. And I knew this would keep me awake for at least till the end of the class period. I was doing hydrogeology.
So you had a Suzy Q and
I had two Suzy Q's and some Mountain Dew
for each class.
No, not for each cow. Jesus Christ. I'd be Jabba the Hutt by now. No. That one pack of Suzy Q's and one Mountain Dew was enough to handle it.
Oh, that's cool. So, did you get your phone?
I sure did. And I was surprised as to how fast it came. It was...
yeah. What were you... okay, so you ordered it, and when did they say you were going to be... oh, wait, you went to the store, didn't you?
Yes, I went to the T-Mobile store right in the morning when the iPhones were being launched, and they immediately came out and said, what kind of phone do you want? I'm like, yes. I want the... and they cut me off saying, we only have 16 gigs. I'm like... well, that makes things complicated. So I'm like, look, I'll just order it. I'm fine waiting. And I was waiting. I was ready to wait like the what was it last time? 3 months before I got my phone. And I ordered it on Friday and it came on Monday, surprisingly.
That's amazing.
So I was really thrilled. I got the 6S Plus 128 gig version.
Okay. What'd you get, Matt?
Space gray.
I got a 6S Plus 128 gig silver. And I ordered mine on AT&T's website. I ordered it on a Saturday. It came the following Thursday. And I don't remember what the date was. I ordered it September something, like, you know, very end of September kind of.
Yeah.
And it told me to expect it like the last week of October. So,
oh, wow.
They're definitely under promising
and overproducing. That's yeah. Awesome.
So you really can't complain about that. And I've been hearing that that's been a common thing though.
That's a good problem.
I'm hearing different reports. I keep hearing that all the stores are sold out and the waits in some areas are pretty long, and other places people are getting them pretty quickly. So it's kind of, it's just weird that there's no consistency.
Yeah,
but
I guess
it depends on what carrier you have too, I would imagine.
Actually went in the AT&T store a couple of days ago and was basically just, I don't know what I was doing in there, but in any case, I was talking to a salesperson in there about like what they had in stock for phones, because my wife is thinking about upgrading. And you know, I told them that she would want a rose gold, probably just a 6S.
Yeah.
And it sounded like I'd have to wait for that.
That one is in pretty high demand.
Yeah, they pretty much laughed at me, actually, when I said that that's what we'd want.
I tell you what, I laughed after our last episode about the whole rose gold thing.
What do you mean, why?
You guys were talking about vasectomies and getting the rose gold.
Oh, God. Thanks for reminding me of the pain. You know what? Honestly, I have very little recollection of that episode.
It's a good thing it's recorded.
Yeah, I actually heard it, and I still don't remember it because I was listening to it while I was still on pain meds. I'm doing much better, by the way.
Good. I know, I gotta sign up for mine.
Dang it. I should have asked you how you were doing, but I forgot.
Yeah.
All right. So you both got your new phones. If everybody didn't figure it out already, we're gonna be one of our topics is gonna be the new iPhone. And So, first impressions with the camera. I want to hear what was it that you took a picture of, and what was your expectations, and did it meet your expectations? Let's start with you, Matt.
All right. Well, let me talk. I'm going to talk about a little bit more than just the camera.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
That's all right.
All right. First, let me just tell you. Some of the things that are not going so smooth, and these are just like things that I guess could be expected. So I did get the 6S Plus, the big phone, and I love the size. Like literally it's everything that I could ever want. However, a big phone like this is not without its challenges. For one thing, it doesn't fit in the phone holder in my car, so I have to get a whole new phone holder, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but trust me, it is. And it also doesn't fit in the GorillaPod phone holder thing. I forget what it's called, but the little Joby GorillaPod thing that you can put on a tripod.
Oh, it's that, too long. I'm too wide.
Yeah, it doesn't open wide enough to clamp on. So that's kind of a bummer. I discovered that today because I was going to use
grip.
It.
Beast grip. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But so, you know, it's just going to take probably a couple months or whatever for like some new products to come out to kind of work out those inconveniences. And then, like, the other thing I ran into, and this is more photography related, is that there's still tons of apps that really don't work with these new phones. And I don't know if that's a hardware compatibility thing or if it's still that they just haven't updated for iOS 9. I haven't really looked into it that hard. But, like, for instance, one of my favorite apps, Vivid HDR, just won't open.
Really?
What?
Yeah, it just doesn't even. It makes a very super half-hearted attempt and immediately crashes. So my workaround for that today was, I'll just use Pro Camera 8, and that works just fine. Except that I think by the time I started taking pictures, it was getting to be, was it dark out or whatever? It was like sunset time, and the pictures I took just didn't look right. They were just very washed out, but just very like painterly looking. There was like no detail in the details, and I don't know. It just looked weird. So it was a miserable failure tonight trying to do HDR, but that's something I'm just gonna have to play with a little bit more. And I also have had just a little bit of issues setting this phone up, but they're all purely my fault. In an effort to make more room on my computer, I, for some reason, several weeks ago, deleted basically all the apps out of iTunes.
Ooh.
And so I'm just going to tell everybody now, don't do that. If you have a virus protection kind of program that cleans up your computer and it suggests for you to do that, do not listen to it.
Oh, wow.
So like I didn't really think it through, right? And I was just like, oh, geez, this is an easy way to clean up some space because it doesn't affect the phone in any way. So, right. You know, no big deal. Well, I got my new phone, and the easiest thing to do is to set it up from a backup of the previous phone.
Yes.
And oh, I see.
When I did that, and like 80% of the apps didn't load onto the new phone, and I couldn't figure out why. And then finally,
tons of space.
Finally, it dawned on me. Oh, whoops! They're not actually in iTunes anymore. So I've been having to go in and into the app store on the phone and manually download all the apps again that I want to have on the phone.
That's kind of a blessing in disguise, though, because it forces you to do a lot of cleanup for apps that you weren't using before.
Oh, yeah, I have far less stuff on this phone so far. And I've been just thinking about that, like, yesterday, that, well, I'm sure there's going to be some new cool stuff that comes out, you know, in the coming 6 months or a year or whatever. So it just opens up space for some new cool apps. But so the camera is good. I do like it a lot, actually. But in my opinion, it's not really much different than the previous cameras in that it really shines in bright light. In bright light, it's an amazing camera, but once the light starts to dim, then, you know, you notice the noise and everything like that, and it really seems to kind of struggle.
I've noticed that it's a little slower because of the optical image stabilizer in low light.
You know, that could be also. I haven't really taken notice to that, but it probably is true. I did play with the live photos a little bit.
That's the one feature that I'm extremely disappointed in.
Well, I'm not disappointed in it because it's exactly what they showed on the keynote. It is. It's exactly what they showed.
No. What they showed, I mean, all right, this is strictly from my point of view. And mind you, I'm Polish, so that's my disclaimer. What I saw was, when they held the button down, held the photo down, you know, the 3D thing, whatever it's called, a nice fluid visual was presented, and all of my images are choppy.
Well, that's because it's only playing like the equivalent of 12 frames per second.
Yes, but that's not what they displayed on the screen. Like, all their stuff was much more fluid.
So I've done a handful of these, and for me, it depends on which one I'm looking at, whether I notice the choppiness or not.
Yeah.
All right. The chat room's asking, have you turned off the live pictures? Because apparently it messes with the low light. You get an improvement when you turn it off.
Yeah, I have it off. Not necessarily for that reason. It's just because I just don't like it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it too. I turned it on to play with it, and for the most part, it'll stay off, and it's off right now.
Yeah, oh, okay. And the fact that it gives a benefit is, you know, it's a plus, but not the reason.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's part of the camera features, if you want to call it a feature, and I wanted to try it out and see what it was, and you know, I could see, like, regular people that are not photographers enjoying this feature.
Yeah.
But I don't see it serving any practical purpose for myself. You know, if I want that motion, then I'll just do a video. Which leads me to video. I've done several videos, and I don't know if it's the display on the phone or if the camera is just that much more awesome, but video looks amazing on this. And I'm not shooting 4K. I'm shooting 1080p, but at 60 frames per second, which you can select now instead of 30 frames a second.
Yep.
And my goodness, it is amazing. And, you know, I shot some videos and then, you know, played them back and looked at them and just thought to myself, like, how awesome do these look? And then showed the videos to all sorts of different people, my wife, people at work, just other various people. And every single person said the same thing. Holy cow, that picture is amazing. And I'm like, yes, yes, it is.
They really went to town on the image stabilization too. It is absolutely incredible. I'm with you on that.
I saw a photographer when he was in either New York or DC. I can't remember where it was. The Pope was there. So he took his iPhone, stuck it on his DSLR. He was doing the DSLR for still shots, but he had his iPhone catching the video. And it's interesting because the image stabilization, everything looked nice and smooth except for the camera lens that was peeking over in the corner. It was shaking all over the place. And it was a little weird, but I looked, I'm like, oh, that's the image state. That was what it would actually look like if the image stabilization wasn't turned on.
Yeah, the poor photographer is probably getting bumped around.
Oh, absolutely. It's like crazy, the crowds that were there lined up to see the Pope. So, but I'll see if I can find a link, and I'll link it in the show notes for everybody to see. And I think it was one of the more popular photographers. I'll remember his name later, but go ahead.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing, again, it comes down to like the size of the phone. So I know a couple people asked in our Facebook group about it. It fits in your pocket, at least in my pockets. It fits just fine. I haven't had any issues with it being like in a front pocket, and like, you know, when I sit down or whatever, it doesn't feel like the phone's bending or gouging me or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is the size that I think I've always wanted. Because if you guys recall, like many moons ago, we, you know, would talk about iPads sometimes. And I would always say that if I ever had an iPad, I'd probably get an iPad mini, because it just seemed like, to me, just like the perfect size. I didn't want a big iPad. I just wanted something bigger than an iPhone, but not a full size iPad. And yes, I did end up getting an iPad 2, but that's only because I practically stole it from somebody. and then turned around and sold it for three times what I got it for. But in any case, you know, obviously the iPhone 6S Plus is smaller than an iPad Mini. However, coming from an iPhone 5 to this, it's night and day. And looking at photos, actually looking at almost anything, whether it's Facebook or reading news or reading magazines, looking at pictures, everything is just so much more easy to read and to see, just a lot more pleasing to look at. And editing photos on this thing is just,
it's a dream.
It's just out of control. It's so awesome. I mean, I've had this phone a week now and I can't put it down. I love it.
That's awesome. What was the first thing that you took a picture of?
Okay, truly the first thing I took a picture of was, I think it was my son feeding chickens in a petting zoo at a farm we were at this past weekend.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that was the first thing. And then that's where I did like the first video. My son, who is two, he rode his first horse. And I just walked along beside to like make sure he wasn't going to freak out or, you know, fall off it or something. And they did like two laps around this little enclosure that the horses were in. And yeah, so I just walked with him like the first lap around, and he was doing just fine. It was kind of like he'd ridden horses a million times before, and he just had this look about him like, what? I do this all the time. Yeah. And so the second lap around, I got the phone out and shot a video. And like Mark was saying, the image stabilization, holy smokes. Like, seriously, people would probably, if they thought about it, they would probably question if I was walking or not. Because there's yes, there's none of that shake at all that you would normally get from walking with a video camera. It's so smooth. Even the first part of the video, the camera's kind of pointed sort of towards the sun, and there's like some lens flare and everything, but you don't get any of that like purple crazy color cast like the iPhone 5 did, and I think the 5S had that problem as well. The lens flare even looked cool in the video.
Nice.
It's outstanding. Oh, and the other thing, I also played with this because people still do selfies. And
first, let me take a selfie.
That's not the first thing I did with it, but
that was the first thing I did.
A couple nights ago, I was like, oh, you know what? I haven't used the front-facing camera yet. I wanted to see what that's all about. And I was sitting in my office, and it's reasonably dark in here, so I thought, cool, I'm going to try the Retina flash as well. Give it a shot. It's very impressive. It basically somehow it figures out the lighting and like the color balance, and it will actually, the screen will flash, not necessarily white, it'll flash like a color in order to neutralize everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And really, the pictures looked really freaking good. I mean, other than the fact that it was me in the picture, they looked really good. I was going to post them, but it was like late at night and like my hair was all scraggled and I really looked like a train wreck, so I didn't post them. But
like a hipster?
No, I looked like I crawled out of a dumpster or something. No, I didn't look good. I was like very unshaven and not a good look, so I decided not to post them. But maybe I'll have to do a couple more and post them to show you guys what it looks like. And it is really cool. The Retina flash is pretty sweet.
Nice. Just did the first drop test of the iPhone.
I was gonna say, are you okay?
Yeah, that's good. It passed. It's great for dropping.
Yeah,
I highly recommend that too. If you get a new phone, only a 6S or 6S Plus, but you should definitely drop it. And the higher the better.
I saw the videos for the water test.
Yeah, now that's very cool. I'm not going to test it out.
No.
And then my luck, where just because of the things I like to do, if my phone does get wet, to that extent, it also means it sank to the bottom of a lake.
Yes.
So I hope to never find out if it could survive that.
When I saw that YouTube video, I'm like, wow, I got my wife the wrong phone. I'm like, screw it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've retrieved one phone from the bottom of the ocean, and I think that my luck has run out.
Yeah. You don't want to tempt fate twice.
No.
God, the first thing I did was buy myself an otter case for my iPhone.
Well, I just have some kind of like generic, it's just a case with some little like air pockets in the corners or something. I don't know. It had some kind of fancy marketing. But that's actually the reason I went in the AT&T store the other day, was to see, you know, what kind of cases did they have in there. Because I was worried, the case I bought, I just ended up ordering it on Amazon. And I was a little bit worried because I thought, you know, a lot of these cases, they say 6+/6S+. But the 6S Plus is like a 10th of a millimeter bigger in every dimension. So if the case has really tight tolerances and it's for a 6+, I'm like, is it really going to fit a 6S+?
Yeah.
So I thought, well, the case I'm buying is probably one that I could make fit, but I didn't want to get like a OtterBox or something like that until I could actually like try it.
Yeah. You know,
so I went in the AT&T store, all the OtterBoxes just said like, 6+. But they had some other brand, and I forget what it was, but it was the same kind of deal as a OtterBox, like the same kind of protection.
Yeah.
And it said on the box 6+/6S+. So I molded over for a while because the case was like $60 or something. I couldn't decide if I wanted to spend it or not. But then I was like, wait, I just bought like a $1 million phone. So yeah, $60 is a little, you know, pretty cheap to protect it. In any case, the sales guy takes the case out of the packaging and starts putting my phone in it, and it won't snap together like in one spot. Ooh. And he's like, oh, that's weird. So he takes out another one and it won't snap together, and another one and another one, until he had like every single one that they had in the store he had taken out of the box and tried it on my phone. And it got to the point where I was like, dude, if you actually get my phone in that case, I'm gonna have to buy it because it's probably never gonna come off. And he couldn't get it. And I said, dude, you know, don't worry about it. Obviously they don't know what they're talking about. They probably just didn't even try it. I said, I'll just wait, you know, for a month or two and kind of see what comes out that's like specifically for the 6S Plus. So
Greg in the chat room says that he got a LifeProof case made for an iPhone 6, and it fits his 6S just perfectly fine. And
then, oh, yeah. Well, I'm not saying that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not applying to everybody.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't know. It might be prudent to, like, just go to a store like Best Buy or, you know, one of the cell phone carriers and, like, actually try the case because – you know, I was worried that it might not work, and then my fear came true at the AT&T store. So, like, I'm just glad I didn't order it. Now I'd have to go through the hassle of, like, sending it back and stuff like that, you know.
And Dave in the chat room says he got a $5 rubbery case and Apple Care. That also works. Did the Apple Care come with the rubbery case?
I think the Apple Care came with the phone.
It's five. Dude, I would get Apple Care for $5.
Oh my god, I'd buy two.
Yeah. Yeah, I would get Apple Care on the Apple Care at that price.
All right. So Mark, what was the first thing you took a picture of?
I literally took a selfie. I wanted to see how good it was. Unfortunately it was a picture of me, so that was a load of crap.
The same issue I did.
Yeah. Matt, you pretty much covered exactly what I was thinking. So I really don't need to add much more to that. I wasn't a big fan of the live photos. I think the 3D touch is taking some getting used to, and the only other thing I would add is that the Touch ID is working way too well, because I don't get to see the lock screen anymore to flip up to do the camera.
Yep. Yeah, the Touch ID is blazing fast. It's almost like you think about it and it's like, oh, my phone's unlocked. Cool.
Yeah.
But now I have to put the camera app back on the front page. So, I mean...
Wait. Say that again? You swipe up and you can't get to it?
No,
you can. It's just that the Touch ID, it works so fast that you pretty much never see your lock screen.
Oh, got it.
So it's like literally you have to like be the quickest little tapper to get to your lock screen, or just hit it with a button that's not your, you know, finger that you used for Touch ID.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I understand now.
I mean, first world problems. It's
yeah. I was about to say,
I'll be okay.
Mine goes slow. I don't have that problem.
Pray for me. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I love the camera. I absolutely love the video. I can't wait to do the YouTube videos. And
yeah.
Oh, it's going to be great. And they really did a bang up job with it. And I can't wait to put the camera through more testing. I haven't been able to do as much since I've been recouping.
Yeah.
But it's been great.
I imagine there's going to be more stuff in the next week or so that you guys are going to be finding. So we'll pick it up next time. But speaking of YouTube videos, let's go ahead and jump into our next segment. So, all right, Mark.
Yes.
You did a YouTube video.
I did a review on the Volta case made by Seaport Digital. And they sent us a case to play around with. And this one was for the iPhone 6 that I had at the time. By the way, the case will fit the 6S.
Cool.
This is the case that we talked about a while back, where it was kind of like the ring light. The light was around the perimeter of the case.
Yeah.
I mean, not a true ring light, but it's one of those things where it was like, haha, oh, crazy. I'd like to give that a try. And I gotta say, this thing is really rad. I was really surprised, first, by the weight that it gives your iPhone. Now, one of the things I've always disliked about the iPhone is it's light. I'm about ready to drop this feel to it. This yes. one has a, gives you a nice heft to it, and it's makes it easier to hold, easier to grip, and it allows you to photograph with a little bit more confidence, at least for me. The only drawback is it's not really made to absorb an impact. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Now, the light it emits compared to your iPhone, there are trade-offs. On the one hand, the iPhone has the tone balancing magic gnome thing, where it they have the warm flash, the cold flash, and it analyzes the photo as you're about to take it. This does not have that. But what it has, what it gives up, it makes up in spades for the quickness that you're able to take the photos. Now, the one thing I photographed that I think would be the best form of testing is my kids, because they don't sit still for the life of them.
Right.
And I tried using the native flash to photograph them, and some photos came out good, but some of them, they were just blurred because they all of a sudden move, because the iPhone flash has to analyze the image, and then, you know, so it's like a good 1 second before the photo goes off. And a lot of times it was just a blurry photo, or, you know, they moved in such a way that they got red eye. It was just meh. But using the Volta case, I was able to just have one continuous light, and it's adjustable. You can, there's seven settings that you can put on the strength of the LED lights. This thing was ready to go in seconds. Like, there was no autofocus issues. So my son, who moves lightning speed, I was able to take one photo after the other after the other, and I was able to use the burst mode that the iPhone has to just capture every moment. And if you go to tinyshutter.com, I posted some photos up there, or if you want to go to the YouTube channel, and by the way, I was doing this while I was hepped up off goofballs, so it's not the best video, and I'm still working out the kinks for my audio, but I put up some sample photos in there too. You know, this thing was a dream, and I love using this thing to take photos at night. So that's the comparison between using this light compared to the iPhone native flash. The bonus to this is that you now have a super awesome LED light that you can use even faster than your iPhone, because everybody uses their iPhone as a flashlight now.
Right.
And rather than turning on your phone, flicking up the display and hitting the flashlight button, you have a flashlight with just literally a click of a button on the side, and you're able to shine anywhere. So as a professional photographer during a wedding, now this might not apply to everybody, but if you happen to be a wedding photographer and you're during a reception when people are trying to take photos of one another, there's always those groups of people that will whip out their iPhone and try to take a nice group photo.
Yeah.
And every single time they're always coming out dark. Well, I just pop up this little bad boy, click on the light, and give them that 1 second of illumination, and boom, they're able to take their photo. So
you become a mobile light stand.
I become a mobile light stand, which they all so appreciate. The other thing that it really shined, and this is kind of like a sappy moment, but this was like one of those make or break moments that really sets you apart. And I don't know if this will ever happen again, but I was photographing up in Jay Peak, and it was an outdoor wedding under a tent. And when the mom of the groom was doing her speech, she, you know, she was saying, you know, pleasantries, but it was getting really dark out, and inside the tent, it was, you know, poorly lit. So she tried to look at the speech that she had printed out, and she's, oh my God, I can't read this. Well, I pop out the Volta case, flip on the light, and just held it for her so she could finish reading her speech. I mean, nice. I was right there. I already photographed her, so why not? And that really made a difference. And it was a really emotional speech, and I had to stand there almost crying right next to her.
Nice.
Cue Sad Hulk music right now. But this thing was really, really awesome for moments that needed light, when you really needed it right away. And I like I said, I wasn't expecting to adore this case as much as I did. And I'm going to buy the version for the 6S Plus when it comes out.
Sweet.
Now, the cases themselves are not that badly priced. For the iPhone 6 and 6S, it's, I believe, $59?
No, that's not bad at all.
That's not bad considering, you know, a leather case in the Apple store is practically $60 in and of itself.
Well, it's twofold because, I mean, you've got a light and then a backup battery.
Yeah, oh, let me get to I'll get to that in a second. But
okay.
Right now you can also pre-order the version for the 6S and 6S Plus and the 6 Plus if you have that. That is going to be $65. So they're really, really nicely priced, and they fit super, super snug to your iPhone. In fact, they fit so snug that I had to use, to take it apart, I had to use one of those orange Lego pieces that is used to separate bricks from one another. I had to use that to pry it. You know, a plastic fork will also do the same thing. But it's, I mean, it's super snug, and it...
Well, the Lego one probably won't break.
Right. but it fits seamlessly. So, like, you have that bevel that curves down. That bevel will meet the edge of the case, and it will continue its... I mean, it's not one solid piece, but it tries to mimic that solid piece as close as possible. So it's really, really nice and secure. And the bonus part to this is if you're somebody who uses your iPhone on a regular basis that and you find yourself draining the battery considerably, this thing will act as a battery backup. So it has this little device that you pop into the back. It will allow you to, the plug for the case is also right next to the lightning connector. And it has this little adapter that will allow you to transfer the energy from one source to the other. And after 3 hours, I believe, you'll get a full charge.
Wow. And, okay.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And I actually had to use it once, to get some more juice. And yeah, I was really surprised. I really dig this thing. It's great for photographing my kids. That is the first and foremost that where it really, really shined. And then just using it for practical reasons. It's dark outside. I need to see where I'm going. Boom, here's a light. And it's much, much brighter than the iPhone version. So
nice. Yeah. So am I going to get to try?
Yes, you will.
Awesome.
Woohoo. Because this won't fit my case. Yeah. Won't fit my iPhone anymore.
And I, Matt doesn't have a phone to try it on either.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cry myself to sleep about it.
That's okay.
That's cool.
Dude, great. I love this thing. It stinks that I don't get to use it on my 6S Plus. I should have been a little bit more forward thinking, but c'est la vie.
Oh, Dave wants to know what the battery life on the S phones are. What's the difference between, well, you both have bigger phones, but, you know, what have you guys noticed so far?
The battery life on the iPhone 6, I've been noticing a pretty, it's okay. It's,
compared to the 6?
Compared to what I had before, it's much, much better.
Okay. Same thing, Matt?
Compared to my 5, yeah, infinitely better.
Nice.
I don't know what Greg is referring to, the $400 for the adapter.
Yeah.
Oh, we're having a separate conversation.
Oh yes.
I was going to say, the case is only $59. $50. It's...
And it comes with a with an adapter.
Yeah, it's... the only drawback I have with this case is that if you really need to take it apart, you're gonna need tools for it. Again, first world problems, and that little adapter is easy to lose if you're somebody that keeps it in your pocket and decides to do laundry. Joe, nice. You might have an incomplete experience.
Oh.
Is what I'm saying.
I'll be able to charge it up.
No, you can still charge it. The charging cable is separate.
Oh, okay.
You charge it from the very top of the case, and then the bottom of the case where it meets the lightning connector is separate to do the other charging.
Oh, got it. So I won't be able to charge my phone up with it. I'll be able to charge up the case itself.
Yeah, and the battery life for the... For the light is really good. I only charged it twice. The first time is when I got it, and because it came already charged, but I decided to give it a full charge anyway.
Right.
And then after photographing the super blood moon, I was using that light extensively. Like I just left that thing on and I trained it. After a few hours. So it has a really good battery life to it. So I can't say enough good things about it. And I wish I could do the YouTube video a little bit more justice, but hopefully the podcast will do much, much better. Again, you could go to youtube.com/tinyshutter to give it a look over, and you could also go to tinyshutter.com for the written review, and I also post sample photos in there, so go ahead and check that out.
Yes, it's pretty cool. I love seeing the comparison between the on-camera flash and the Volta. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it shines when you have kids that can't stop moving.
Yeah.
That was the best example I could do.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and
I wanted to mention that it's you could get it at seaportdigital.com. You could order the smaller version or pre-order the larger version. Boom. That's it.
Cool. All right. Let's go ahead and move into post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
Woohoo! All right. I conned Mark into doing post pick of the week, and he did it kicking and screaming. So, all right, Mark, go ahead and tell us what you have.
Well, this photo is from Joseph Hetzel.
Hetzel.
Oh, is it Hetzel? Yeah. Right on.
Like he said, like pretzel, but you know, with an H.
Gotcha. Everybody ought to check out his profile. It is JHOETZL, and his Instagram is full of delicious goodness. I mean, he has become quite the photographic barbecuer. And I encourage you, if you guys are into barbecue and if you're a vegan, check it out because you will see what you're missing.
No.
That's right. I went there. So this photo in particular, I thought was fitting because it is both a plug for the other podcast that I do with Maude Byrne and Mike Siska. And it's also a really good photo. It is meatloaf.
Ah, yeah. Not only meatloaf, but smoked meatloaf.
Smoked meatloaf. This thing looks fabulous. I mean, all of his food photos are coming out delicious. Pardon the pun. But this one in particular, I thought it was fitting. It would be a nice bridge between Tiny Shutter and the Meatloaf Podcast. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other place.
That's right. Yeah, he used the hashtag the Meatloaf Podcast on there too.
It's awesome. And I have so been digging his photos. It is awesome. And the funny thing is that I also follow a vegan who is photographing her dinner. And it's always like these beans and greenery and, you know, the kale, I guess, and what else do vegetarians eat? And then immediately after
tofu,
what? Yeah, there you go, mushrooms. And then immediately after one of her photos, I see an onslaught of Joe's wonderful culinary products. I'm like, now that's the vegan I want to see.
He does a lot of before and after photos, and then you're like, dang it, why can't Instagram allow me just to go in there and taste it?
Oh my God. His food looks incredible. You gotta check it out. It will make you hungry.
Very cool. Well, good job. All right, Joe, good job on your post pick of the week. If you want to be featured as post pick of the week, go onto Instagram and use the hashtag Tiny Shutter. And each week we go through and we will choose one. Unfortunately, and it's really difficult, but we choose one to be not only the post pick of the week, but to be the album art for our episode on the website. So if you haven't done that already, go ahead and do it. And then look through our hashtag Tiny Shutter and see all the wonderful images that are being posted every day. And there's a lot of them that you'll drool over, like Joe's. And then there's others that you'll drool over because you're like, oh, man, I want to be able to do that. Like there's Matt. A lot of
Matt, your photos have been killer lately.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, cool. Thank you.
There's a lot of inspiration in there. So, yeah, go ahead and do that. So, very cool.
Speaking of all inspiration, right. I want to take this time to really applaud our Facebook group that has been
not literally.
I got to stop saying that. They have been figuratively on fire. It has been such a week with everybody contributing app opinions, photos. It's been awesome.
Articles.
We've had number of suggestions come through. We've had a lot of new people come in, and it has been really cool. The community in there has been absolutely super. And if you want to check out the community, go to tinyshutter.com and find the link to our Facebook group. That's the easy way to do it. But if you're on Facebook and want to do a search, it is, I believe, Iphonography, the Tiny Shutter podcast group or something like that.
Yep, that's it. Just, just do / Tiny Shutter and it'll take you straight there.
Well, we also have a Facebook page, so I don't want to confuse people. That's why I go
that's the group.
Right on.
A lot of the things that are put in there sometimes become subjects in our podcast. And so, every once in a while, we'll see something like, oh, we need to talk about that. And so it's great because people are able to contribute. And there's some things that we're working on right now that'll hopefully come to fruition and in a future episode. So if you haven't gone to our Facebook page, please go there and be ready to be inspired.
Right on.
So, all right. Well, do you guys have anything else? Because I think we have a show.
I think we're good.
Well, cool. Matt, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and on IM at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. Mark.
I want to point as many people to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ Tiny Shutter. I've been doing as much as I can with the videos there. I've now recouped. I am healthy again. So I'm going to be doing many, many more videos. And I've ordered a new microphone for my iPhone. So hopefully the sound quality will be much better. So go over there, check it out. We're going to have more coming along the way. And stay tuned. And the Meatloaf podcast if you want a healthy dose of the absurd.
That's right. And you can find... Oh, go ahead.
No, we're going to start that back up again. I haven't had the balls to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
And you can find me at Joseph Ferreira on Instagram. And like Mark said, go to tinyshutter.com and you will find everything there. So if you haven't, do it. All right, Mark, why don't you lead us out of here?
Right on, and I will pretend that I was paying attention to the soundboard.
Yes.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Ah, that's cool. And this is the end of me until I do a next product review.
All right.
Right on. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
This place is dead anyway, man.
Damn straight.
Oh, play for Matt the one that that I sent.
Oh, this one.
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Was that the Penguins?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.